Bigfoot, Skunk Ape, Grassman, Sasquatch. Just a few of the names given to the primate-like creature said to roam the woods and remote areas of North America. Tales of this elusive being go back for hundreds of years. Is it mere myth and legend? Or is there truly something more tangible to this phenomenon? Join us on this journey as we discuss the science behind the encounters, the research and the evidence, keeping you updated on the latest findings, ideas, and hypotheses. Arrogance gets us nowhere, and closing one's eyes doesn't make things disappear, nor less real. Today's myth could be tomorrow's reality. It's time to make this subject matter less taboo. Welcome to Monster X Radio. Bigfoot without the BS. Hey guys and gals, welcome to Monster X Radio. We've got a great show lined up for you this evening with some very special guests. Our topic for tonight and discussion will be on Project ZooBook. Project ZooBook is comprised of primatologists, zoologists, anthropologists, and other scientists who are working alongside Bigfoot researchers from across the country. Now, first up on the show is BFRO member and Sasquatch investigator, Amy Boo. Amy is the co-founder and the brains behind the project itself. Welcome to Monster X Radio, Amy. How are you doing this evening?
Thank you so much. This is a long time coming, and we're all really excited about it.
It's been a long time coming. It really has. And I'm just super stoked because this project has been years in the making now. It's getting bigger and bigger. You've really built something special in my book, and you've managed to get a lot of individuals interested in your idea, Amy. So for the audience, can you tell them a little bit about yourself? And then we'll lead into how Project ZooBook came into fruition.
Absolutely. I live in Ohio. I live in Youngstown, Ohio. And I got interested in the subject in 2012 when I saw something. Still not sure if it was a Sasquatch or not, but I had a possible sighting in Mahoning County. Since then, I do my own research. I talk to a lot of hunters and fishermen, and I go around trying to find witnesses. I also take some reports for the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization in Ohio and Pennsylvania. And I do a lot of things with kids through my ABLE organization, Amy's Bucket List Expedition. So that's just a little bit about me. I'm also a teacher, and I am absolutely fascinated with this subject. And as far as Project ZooBook, it still astounds me. I'm not sure what other word to use, but it came out of the blue. I was just on one of the Bigfoot groups out on Facebook, and I saw a young lady who was asking some questions. I'm making a very long story short here. And I reached out to her through Messenger, not knowing who she was or what she did, and found out a week or so later that she is a very special person. She was saying that she and her coworkers had a little lunch club where they would talk about Bigfoot, and they would listen to podcasts, including Monster X, and they would read books about it, and they were just really interested. And I thought that was really cool because, you know, it's not something you hear every day that a whole bunch of coworkers are into this. So I told her that I would be happy to take them out on a expedition sometime or an investigation or just, you know, learn a little bit more together. And what happened was she ended up telling me that her coworkers and herself not only worked at a zoo, but that they work with primates and they are in fact primatologists. So I always say that, you know, after I picked my jaw up off the floor, my brain started working. I just wasn't expecting that. You know, I didn't know what they did. I wasn't expecting that. And from there, we have just, like you said, grown and blossomed into this project, that into this brain trust we kind of call ourselves, where we have the best time discussing Sasquatch, discussing primates. I know tonight we're going to talk about a lot of things that we've been doing, and it's just amazing. Isn't it fun?
It's been a hoot, man. I'll tell you, it's one of the coolest things I've been involved with. And you invited me to join Project Zoo Book, and I'm very honored that you asked me. And where this may lead, I don't know. I don't think any of us know where this may lead. But the one thing I do know, that is, we are, and especially you, Amy, are making this subject matter, the Sasquatch phenomena, less taboo within science. It's something that we talk about. John Bindernagel, the late, great John Bindernagel, he always wanted to make the subject matter less taboo.
Yeah, I remember you saying that early on, and we kind of just really wanted to take that idea that he had and run with it and keep it moving forward. And I know we're not the first group of scientists, you know, that have looked into this, or, you know, but we are a really cool one. I love us.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
keep growing. You know, every time we've been under the radar, because we talk a lot about how, just because the zoologists and the primatologists and other scientists we have now are interested, doesn't mean that their higher ups where they work are. And we want to make sure, first of all, that they're comfortable in what we're doing. I know every single one of us involved in Zoo Book has said, as long as we get to talk to these people, we'll personally be happy. But we hope to someday, you know, share what we've been doing, share what we've been talking about. And this call tonight, this podcast, is just very exciting to me, because it's a start, you know, out there doing that. And we've added people. We've had people that have come to us now, scientists that have come to us, college professors. And when I hear other people saying, you know, science doesn't want anything to do with Sasquatch, I really beg to differ. And you, by the way, were one of the first people I thought about when I met her, you know, the original primatologist, because obviously, you know, I've been interested for about 7 years now. It was less time at the time. And I know that I don't know all there is to know. You know, nobody does, but I knew that I wanted to introduce them to other people that had other experiences across the United States. And I wanted them to get to the people that I felt were the best of the best as far as researchers. And you are absolutely up there on the top of my list. And I also wanted to make sure, as the mama bear in me, that I kept them away from, you know, different, oh, I don't know how to say it, some different ideas and things that I thought might hurt them. You know, in the world of Bigfoot, you just really need to be careful a little bit. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't bring anybody to them that I felt would do a disservice to them. Hopefully that makes sense. But that, you were on my wish list.
I appreciate that, Amy. That's very kind of you. And I totally get what you're saying when it comes, you know, you don't want to bring people into this field that really don't know much about it. They have an interest, whether they're listening to a podcast or watching a TV show or knew somebody that had an encounter, something of that nature. You don't want to bring them into, this is a cutthroat field. There's a lot of animosity and all that. I mean, it's not just with Sasquatch. It's human nature. So you've done a fantastic job there, I think, and you brought in a lot of great people. I want you to talk about some of those individuals here shortly and bring on some of our other guests. But real quick, I know recently you've done a couple of TV spots in your local area out there in Ohio and whatnot. Can you talk a little bit about that? And then we'll bring on our other guests, and you can mention some of the other individuals that are a part of this group.
Absolutely. No, sure. It's been funny because, you know, I've been traveling a lot this last couple of years, especially, and a lot of that has blossomed out of Project Zoo Book. You know, it's kind of beyond my wildest dreams, the things that I've been able to do just from that initial friendship, you know, that I had with this primatologist. And so I just count my blessings every day. But I was excited because I finally got to do something in my own backyard, you know, and I've been doing a lot of work with metro parks around here in Ohio, Northeast Ohio, you know, just trying to get the community together. So that's all that's been about is, you know, trying to get people interested and come out to the different parks. And if Bigfoot will do that, then that makes me happy, especially with the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into some of the members of Project Zoo Book. We have a few of them with us this evening. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the members that are currently a part of Project Zoo Book?
Sure. Well, I believe the first person that I told after I started talking to this young lady, and especially after she told me what she did, was my very good friend and research partner, Tina Sam. And, you know, like, she's who I tell everything to. I have two really good friend research partners, and they're both with us tonight. They're both core members of Project Zoo Book, and that's Tina Sam and David Wickham. But Tina, I was just like, oh my gosh, you're never going to believe this. And every time a new scientist or a new person wants to get involved, we just kind of stare at each other and we're like, can you believe this? It's so exciting to us. So yeah, I want to introduce her now and kind of see what her take was when I first told her about this and what her thoughts are about it since then.
Hello, Tina.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. I know you're besties with Amy here, and you're one of her go-to individuals. You're obviously a core member of the Project Zoo Book. Tina, what's been your experience with Project Zoo Book, and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I'm also from Youngstown, Ohio. I live not far from Amy. As far as being interested in the subject, I always say I kind of grew up in a family that was very open to this stuff, and it was probably like 10 or 11 years old before I realized other people didn't sit around at Christmas and talk about like Bigfoot and stuff. So it's pretty much been a part of my life altogether. And Amy and I have been research partners and good friends for about 6 years now, I think. And when this whole Project Zoo Book came about, each step of the way, the only way that I could really explain it, it was kind of mind-blowing. Right, Amy?
Absolutely, yes. Good word.
I always jokingly say that every time she would text me about a new contact that she made, most of my texts back to her were the same two words, and that was shut up, because it was just amazing to see, you know, the scientific community and the Sasquatch community come together with the open minds and that this group of people that she's brought together have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really extraordinary when I think of the members, the individuals she's brought aboard here, and then those individuals outside of the Sasquatch world that have jumped aboard. You know, some are here and there. Others are really both feet in. Amy, who else do we have here tonight?
We also have David Wickham. Again, a dear friend of mine, one of the best researchers out there. If I had to pick the best researcher from Ohio, I would pick him. And he was, you know, I don't know if it was Tina or David I told first, one or the other, maybe both at the same time. But he jumped in with both feet. They've both been so helpful. And I'll let David introduce himself because his background is really cool when it comes to Project Zoo Book.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, welcome, hi, David. Hey, welcome, Taters.
Yeah, that's first off. I always found that there's too many Davids in the Bigfoot world, so I graciously got that nickname, and it's kind of stuck, and I kind of enjoy it now. So, but no, Amy and I have followed a path, and it was something where we kind of looked around and was doing our, you know, research in the area. And then she gave me a call about this opportunity. I think I was actually hosting a BFRO expedition around that same time. So I was busy with organizing and doing some of the field work to make it a successful expedition. I'm also a BFRO investigator. I've been there in there for about 5 years. The other part, I'm a physical therapist. I've been practicing for about 28 years. So the idea of footprints and locomotion and things like Dr. Meldrum lectures on, I just really enjoy, and he talks my language when he's up there lecturing. So those were all fun, but I've just been truly excited and motivated by Amy, and every time we've had opportunities to grow, we've been blessed.
One of the really cool things, guys, is that I got to meet you, David, and Tina, and Amy at Beachfoot, Todd Neese's event held in Oregon, in Alsea, Oregon. And that was such a pleasure. You guys put on a presentation that was well received. You know, real quick, Amy, I know we've talked about this a little bit on the show in the past, but your experience coming out to Oregon at Todd Neese's Beachfoot events, having, you know, kind of a good amount of us there as part of the core group, how did that go, and what were your thoughts on that?
Well, that was so special. And before I answer the rest of that, I think I wanted to say too that I think Taters is the one that came up with the name Project Zoo Book, because we at first were like, oh, you know, we just thought it was going to be us talking to each other, and then it kept growing, and we're like, well, maybe we need a name. And just anyway, I thought that was a cool name. It was kind of a take on Project Blue Book, since we needed to be a little private. But anyway, as far as going out there, man, that was the most fun ever. I'd like Tina to talk a little bit more about how when she and I, we went to the zoo that our core primatologists, we have a lot more scientists that come in and out of Project Zoo Book and that are involved, but we have like a little core group. And when we first met them, it was amazing. So I think she could speak to that too. But when we all then got to go out to see Todd and Diane and go out to Beachfoot and just have that fellowship out there, really get to know each other, because a lot of our communication is over the phone, you know, and throw ideas to each other. And I know that the primatologists, you're going to be talking to them on another podcast sometime, but they still talk about the moment when we were all kind of sitting there at our campsite, and then the Olympic Project members, including you, walk across the field to us, and it was like, oh, you know, you were all researchers that we really admired, and it was just so cool to meet in person and other times since then.
That was phenomenal. I will never forget that day, just me and you guys, even, you know, from across the country. But yeah, like you said, Tina's got a few things to share here. I'd love for Tina to talk about the initial meeting with some of those zoologists and her experience there.
Sure. And by the way, thanks for bringing me the fishing poles at Beachfoot.
I you bet. I never leave home without it. It's like a credit card.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, when Amy and I decided to drive out and meet them in person, I remember it was almost like going on a blind date, huh, Amy? And we were saying to each other, well, what if we don't have anything to talk about? And what if they don't like us? And what if it's like dead silence? And so we just kind of worried all the way up there. And when we got there, it just flowed. It was so natural. And they were so interested in what we did, and we were so interested in what they did, and pretty amazed, actually, how open they were to the possibility of this happening. And something else that really struck me was their relationship with the primates at the zoo. It's almost magical, the interaction between them.
We've learned so much about large primates, and more than I ever even knew that there was to learn, and there's still so much more. But that's what's so special about it, is we're not just, you know, trying to share what we do with them, but they're sharing what they do with us, and it's just so much fun. It really is. A lot of what we do is talk about that, the similarities and differences, and can we come up with any aha moments that can help, you know, in Sasquatch research.
It's been a real eye-opener for myself. I'm sure I can speak for many others when it comes to some of the things that these individuals have shared with us, not just the zookeepers, but also some of the other individuals with different academic backgrounds. Some of the things that they've shared, the conversations have been not just awe-inspiring, but very, very interesting. I've taken a lot of notes. I'm sure many of you guys have as well.
Yeah.
and it's expanded from there. And one of the really interesting and cool things that we got to do this year was bringing out the zookeepers out here to the Pacific Northwest, out to our nest site location where we've been studying it for the last 3.5-4 years. So that was phenomenal. You know, we can delve into that a little bit later. Now, we talked a little bit about individuals that are here tonight that are going to be speaking with us. I know we have another one that's going to be joining us here shortly, but who else do we have in the mix here that you find of value, Amy, that's a part of this group? And are you looking to expand it in a broader sense, or do you like the number, the small group that we have now?
Well, you know, that's kind of up in the air, but we love our core group. We really do. And when you have a lot of people, you know, talking, you want to make sure everybody has their voice. So what we've been doing a lot lately is having kind of guests come on to our conference calls. We have had Laura Krantz from her Wild Thing podcast. We have had Darby Orcutt, a professor at North Carolina State, come on. We've had witnesses come on, hunters tell us what they've seen, and all of it has been fantastic. I know that I myself, in talking to our two main primatologists, we've had Dr. Meldrum on a few times, and he's said he's eager to join in again. We have another anthropologist from over at another zoo and some other primatologists that are interested that we need to come on. I just got a marine biologist who contacted me, you know, so it goes on and on and on. So I think that the sky's the limit as far as scientists, you know, joining us and learning from each other. It's just, we kind of have our core group and then we have concentric circles, I always say, of people, and it's kind of fluid that way. But the more the merrier people to, I even had an entomologist contact me. We have yet to have him on a call with us. And like you said, it's not just calls. We also, you know, have gotten together and trying to do research. It's just that we're spread apart quite a bit, but we're doing, and we're writing, and, you know, we're looking at getting together some scholarly articles and getting more zoos involved. But you had said something before about some of the things we had talked about, and I know that Taters and I were talking a little bit ago, you know, before we started this conversation tonight, about something that really struck him, and I was wondering if he would want to share that so that the listeners could get a taste of some of the types of things that we've talked about.
Right. Well, thanks, Amy. When we started logging in for the conference call, and Shane's always helping with kind of getting that together with a phone number, we call in and we start talking about what we're doing, and maybe some research things that we've either went out and had some docs or something like that. The conversation at the time, I was in one of the groups I was in, had a discussion where they thought they had a report where an actual Sasquatch had gotten hit, and that there was possibly a body that was able to be gathered. And they were trying to figure out if it was real or not, did they have somebody in the area that could get there or contact, you know, State Patrol to find out if this was actually something that happened. And so that kind of led the discussion that night of what we would do if we did have a opportunity to harvest, collect samples from a body. And I was thinking that the discussion was going to go a whole different way, you know, contact Dr. Meldrum, collect a finger, collect a, you know, tooth or something like that. But it ended up going right to the primatologist about, like, what happens when a gorilla or a primate under their care gets sick and dies prematurely, and what the steps that they have to go through. And they kind of talked about how they, you know, do a biopsy and make sure that everything is okay with the clan that's in captivity there. And they isolate everybody. And then they sent out a memo with the other zoos and just to let them know what's going on. So it's kind of, you know, the whole world kind of knows what's going on in the zoo world. And then after everything is all clear, maybe there's a natural cause, then what they said that they do is they put it in an isolated room. And they have all the members that associated with that primate have an opportunity to come in. And it was just, it just kind of took my breath away, because the reaction that they had was kind of like, they didn't know what was going on. They would go over and slap it and hit it and yell at it and kind of, come on, let's go play. And then all of a sudden it was kind of like, you're ignoring me. So they got a little angrier, a little bit more pushy and a little bit more forceful. And then all of a sudden there was this click, and they started realizing that there's a possibility that they weren't with them anymore. And so then there was a lot more soft cooing, hugging, kind of curling up against them and kind of like caressing the head or hair. And then all of a sudden they just kind of walked away. And that was it. That was done. They accepted that it would, had passed on. And they had told one story about I think it was a chimpanzee that had been raised in some captivity and had been surrendered and introduced into the group successfully, but still carried a small stuffed animal around as a kind of like a whoopee. And when she passed away, one of her BFFs or her friends that would, the other chimp in the exhibit came in and did kind of went through the process. And then before she left, she ended up taking the small pet stuffed animal out with her and kind of kept it as a memento. And for me, I guess there was an epiphany, whereas a lot of times one of the biggest questions we get asked as Bigfoot researchers is where's the body? Where's the body? And we go into the natural causes of animals and decomposing and nature and the soil and everything like that. And for me, it just hit, whereas when someone that passes away in our family, how we process it, take it to the funeral home and then have a funeral and then a day where we bury them, we have ceremony. And that the primates, who are really close, you know, relatives of ours, they go through a grieving process. And they finally accept it and move on. That we, if we feel that Bigfoot, a Sasquatch, is something similar or in between us, that they themselves would identify a need to grieve. And so the process of removing a body from a roadside or a landslide to a place where, if they were individual clan, they would be able to have a moment. And then whatever they would do with the body at that point, it really just hit me as a possible explanation. And it gave me some, an answer to a question that has really been boggled us a lot.
I think that's fantastic. Tina, did you want to talk about what you thought was really interesting? I remember we were talking about something too that struck you. We all had kind of aha moments.
Yeah, I think the thing that I thought was very interesting in the chimpanzee world. When babies are born, they have a white spot on their bottom end. And we were all standing there with them and we were looking at them. And one of the primatologists told us that baby chimps have this mark for up to 5 years. And when they have this mark, it is a sign to the entire clan that this chimp is off limits. So basically, from 0 to 5 years old, they could get away with whatever they want, any kind of shenanigans amongst the other primates in their exhibit. And nobody's allowed to discipline them. Nobody's allowed to get angry at them. But the minute that that white spot disappears, the zookeeper said that it was a free-for-all. I just thought that was really interesting that they all knew and abided by that, you know, and it was just something that I thought was really cool.
That was interesting. And I remember we talked about that there have been a few reports, you know, in Ohio, Northeast Ohio especially, and Northwest Pennsylvania, there are several reports of white, like all white Bigfoot. But there have also been some reports that there have been like a white spot or whatever. And so I remember thinking, huh, I mean, not that it has to have anything to do with it, but those are the type of things that we start thinking about and looking into, and we'll dig into reports, you know, and different databases and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, can we verify that? But I know that another person, since we were just talking about Beachfoot, I think we should bring Todd in, because he's
Todd
another
Neese.
Really important member. And he's somebody I called pretty quickly too. I called you and Derek. I called Todd, a few other researchers that I was like, hey, I want you to talk to these really cool people that I found. And man, you have been great, Todd.
Thank you. I'm honored to be part of this project.
Well, Todd, you know, you've been involved with the Sasquatch phenomenon for many years, and you've done a lot of great things and been around the block a lot. Now this new endeavor, this new collaboration with Project ZooBook comes along, and you're now involved with that. How's that worked out for you, and what are your thoughts going forward with Project ZooBook?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and thank you for asking. I mean, I was one of the founders in another project known as SHARE, and the concept being trying to bridge that gap between amateur researchers and scientists. And we knew that in order to do that, it wasn't a matter of getting scientists to lower their credentials to what the amateurs were doing, but rather to elevate the amateurs to look at what is required scientifically to get these creatures credibility. And it was just fortuitous that Project ZooBook came along when it did, because here we had a ready-made, albeit spontaneous, group of people, both scientists and amateurs, that both shared an interest in the subject and were able to kind of make that initial bridge. So I'm honored to be a part of that, to have some, not just zoologists, but primatologists come on board the way they did. And I'm sure Amy can vouch for this. It was a fairly spontaneous thing once everybody knew where everybody's heads were at. So yeah, I'm very excited about it. You know, in a way, we've made a link without necessarily fleshing out all the details, but it's great to have, you know, Amy and Tina and Taters and D and others on board, and yourself as well. And I'm just excited about where it's going. But yeah, it's just it's been a godsend, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Another thing that I love about it, besides the scientists involved and the academics and everything, I love that it's brought together so many Bigfoot researchers, because mm-hmm. I know this is kind of silly to say, but there's always kind of the East Coast versus West Coast thing out there. You know, you would think we're some gangsters or something, but I think that it's awesome to be able to, you know, we can see each other at conferences, we can, you know, travel to see each other for fun, which is awesome, but to be working on something together makes me really happy.
I'm going to jump in here with Todd and Beachfoot and Diane. What an amazing conference that you have out there. And when we came out there, we were kind of looking at each other, just getting to know us, and you open up your format there and allowed us to have an opportunity to get our feet underneath ourselves. And I wanted to add to what the magic of Beachfoot is. Amy and Tina kind of took a little bit of that and created something that we call Creekfoot here in Ohio. And it's the second year. And it's under the same pretense of a family reunion or Bigfoot reunion outside of what ZooBook is. And I want Todd to take a bow, because it's really because of his vision of we're able to take some of that West Coast harmony and bring it over here to the East Coast.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, it's you know, when Amy asked that, and I totally respect the fact that she approached me with the concept of Creekfoot, and I mean, that's rare in this field. You know, they say plagiarism is the greatest form of flattery, but in Amy's defense, she did come up and say, look, we love what you're doing here, we just love to do it back there. And I said, by all means, you know, I don't, you know, we're not in competition. And that's the thing that unfortunately gets missed in a lot of what's going on in the Bigfoot field is people see other people who are striving to, you know, get that, you know, holy grail, if it is, if you will, that, you know, they see each other as competitors, and it can get political at times, and but that's all right. I mean, truth of the matter is, what they're doing is fantastic, and I wish them the best of luck over there with that, and I wish them well.
We appreciate that, because we never aspire to be Beachfoot. We just wanted to be like a little baby one over here.
Well, and you know, that's
so much.
Realize that we're all in this together, and we've got to cooperate if we're going to come to a conclusion about what we're dealing with.
I'll be honest with you. It doesn't matter if it's Sasquatch. It doesn't matter if it's fishing, hiking, race car, sports. People love the bicker. It's the human nature, as we discussed earlier. It's not just with the Sasquatch phenomena. Over the years, yes, because of social media, it's gotten worse and worse, right? I mean, everybody now has a say, and they can post what they want, and they can be an expert, though there are no experts in this field, but they can be online, right? Well, what I found with Project ZooBook, one of the really cool things, and this is why I love to be a part of the Olympic Project. Within the Olympic Project, there's no bickering. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody gets along. Not everybody agrees all the time, but we do get along, and we mesh minds and come up with ideas and elaborate upon that. And with Project ZooBook, I found the same sort of family, same sort of setup. One of the things also that I've learned through this project, through some of the individuals involved, is the similarities, I mean, extreme similarities in a lot of fashions, a lot of ways, between known primates and the Sasquatch phenomena. That has been a real eye-opener. It really adds value to some of my ideas and some of my opinions. The greatest thing about Project ZooBook is the open ear. It's not a closed wall. It's not a closed door. There's individuals out there in the science realm that are willing to listen to what we've obtained in the work that we've done and some of our ideas. And to me, that's the greatest thing about Project ZooBook, is the open ear.
Here's where it's kind of critical, is that there's a lot of amateur, and I count myself among them, field researchers that go out in the field and try different things, you know, Operation Sea Monkey, trying to employ both conventional and unconventional means, because, you know, that's all we have, but try to come up with different ideas. Whereas somebody that may have, you know, the sheepskin, so to speak, are dedicated to whatever discipline, the scientific discipline they're involved in more of a quote unquote reality aspect of known primates, versus field workers that are out there, amateurs as it may be, they're doing something, and we're collecting things. You know, people like Chris Spencer and you and Derek and so many others, Shelley, people that are spending time out there and collaborating. And like I say, everybody brings something to the cause.
Right.
One of our first conversations that we had on ZooBook, we were talking about behaviors that we experienced in the field, rock clacks or rocks being thrown at us or wood knocks. And it was something that Amy and I both had experiences on, and have either recorded or have had opportunities to be out in the field. And then all of a sudden the primatologists were, oh, well, this means this, and this is what when the great apes do this, this is their behavior, their mood. And I think that the one story, and someone can elaborate a little bit more, but the rocks being thrown, there was one tree that these researchers for the primates were watching, and they were throwing rocks at this particular tree. And they found the whole pile of rocks at the bottom of the tree, and they don't know why, but this one clan seems to not like this tree. And they were talking about how things like smiles or clenching the teeth might be a sign of nervousness from a primate or a grade ape.
Right.
Which occasionally we'll have witnesses that have said that they've seen a figure look at them and smile, and they thought, oh, what a, you know, friendly smile. But from the primatologist standpoint, that's be careful, watch your back, and anything can happen at this point. That's a danger zone. That was, like, I think the first conversation that we had, and there were just so many light bulbs going off of what we were seeing and what they know by being around these marvelous creatures in the zoo, just how close the two species could be.
You know, you talk about smiling. I don't know if it's smiling or grimacing, but whatever it is, I think it shows where it looks like they're grinning, and in essence, they're kind of grimacing, if you will. It's like, okay, game on.
That's exactly what the zoologist said. Tina, did you want to say something that you learned from Zoo Book?
Well, actually, what I wanted to say, and I'm not sure if we kind of touched on this, but a lot of the scientific end of Zoo Book is all because of, first I wanted to say, because of Amy's hustle. And Amy has this gift of reaching out to people. And I don't think that we touched on the fact that these people didn't jump in 100%. I'm 100% Bigfoot and I want in on this. But Amy seen something in them or reached out to them. And once they came over, they're, you know, very skeptical with a healthy amount of skepticism, but they listen and they're intrigued. And by the end of these conference calls that we have, they're interested and they want to be part of it. And so I just don't know if we touched on the fact that they weren't, you know, 100% into the Sasquatch thing, but it's awesome that they were open to it and are now involved in this project.
That is a fantastic point, Tina, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Project Zoo Book, it's a bit of a magnet that Amy's created. It's a bit of a magnet because of the logic behind it, the premise, the ideas, and how it's been presented, and Amy's done a fantastic job. I did want to say something, though, that I didn't touch upon earlier enough, that working with the zookeeper specifically, and we're going to have them on a show down the road here, when they're willing and able. And I know they're willing, it's more because of their schedules, if they're able. But some of the similarities between some of the stuff that we've all experienced here as a group and with our experiences and everything else, the similarities between what they're working with known primates, both with gorillas and chimpanzees and bonobos, you name it, the similarities were really shocking to me. And that was one of the things that really interested me. Amy, I believe Project Zoo Book's new, it's refreshing, and it's something different. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's different. I mean, you know, I'm newer than a lot of you out there in the field, but I've done my homework, you know, looking into things like this. I think it's different just for the scope of it. I think it's different for the people involved. Really, really solid researchers on the Sasquatch side, really solid scientists and different ones. You know, like, I can't remember if I already said this, but we had an entomologist interested, so like an expert in mosquitoes. And, you know, it's like all these different people that, you know, you would never think would have an interest in Bigfoot. So I might be a little biased, but I think it's pretty special. And I just want to say I appreciate all of the kind words that you have all said about me, but man, it wouldn't be anything without our team. You know, it's just been the biggest pleasure to work with all of you and the scientists, every last one of them. And I just pinch myself every day. I think whenever we have one of our talks and or we do something in the field, I just can't help smiling because it's just such a positive thing. And I learned so, so, so much. And I will always be grateful for that.
Amy, all I got to say is you rock. You built this. Please don't stop. Keep going. The light's at the end of the tunnel. I do believe that. So well done.
Thank you. And well done to all of us. But thank you. I do work really hard on it, but it is absolutely my pleasure.
I would say kudos to Lester. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, man, yes.
You know, hats off to him for allowing his wife to, you know, get out there and do what she's got to do, you know, and on the same token, my wife, Diane, you know, since I retired from the Army in May, it'd be interesting to go across the calendar and figure out how many days I've been at home versus, in the field. But, you know, she supports me. So her and Lester have a little bit in common, you know.
So right about that. I owe him so much.
I just want to thank everybody that joined the show tonight. I want to thank Amy Boo, David Wickham, a.k.a. Taters, Tina Pasternak Sams, and Todd Neese for jumping in on the show tonight to talk about Project Zoo Book, talk about some of the exciting stuff that has been worked on. And you know what? This is a work in progress. It's a book, Project Zoo Book, right? But this book's not been written yet. So this book is very much unfinished. We'll see where it goes. Amy's working on big things. Well, part two, with some of the actual zookeepers that are part of this project, and we'll get their insight into what they do, into their interest with Sasquatch. So stay tuned. Thanks for joining, everybody.
Thank you for joining Monster X Radio.